Welcome to the latest episode of Your Wealth with Gemma Dell, a podcast series designed to help you create, grow, and protect your wealth.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of Your Wealth. I'm Gemma Dale, NAB's Director of SMSF and Investor Behaviour, and today I'm really excited to have a great guest to discuss a topic that's frankly quite concerning for a huge proportion of the population. That's the belief that you need $1 million for a comfortable retirement. I'm joined today by Brian Long, the Head of Retirement at NAB, who's written a brilliant, well-researched and really considered article on this topic. Brian's a highly regarded expert in retirement and retirement strategies, and I've really been looking forward to this conversation because I think it's going to give people a lot of comfort and a lot of confidence as they look into the future. Brian, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Gemma. I really hope that in talking to you today, I can make some people feel more confident about their retirement from a financial perspective.
Okay, that sounds awesome. So the idea that you need at least $1 million for a comfortable retirement, it's pretty pervasive. Where's it come from?
Gemma, when you're doing retirement research, $1 million is a very common figure. I've read 2 million, I even read 4 million the other day. And the more you read, the more these start sounding like lotto prizes, and it's very confusing. Even $1 million is daunting for most of us, and it has most Australians really concerned as to what sort of retirement they're going to look forward to after all those years of working. So firstly, why can't the industry agree? There are actually a few very good reasons for this. Firstly, I think it's a hangover from your accumulation days, where you just get fixated on having as big a superannuation balance as possible, when in reality, in retirement, your goals don't really have much to do with your balance. Your goal is looking at what sort of a lifestyle do I want in retirement. And because everyone has a different, style of life they want when they stop working and retire, there's this big variation in the amounts you need to fund retirement. And when you're looking at perhaps potentially 30 years in retirement, when you start looking at various assumptions around inflations and investment returns, the amounts can vary significantly. And lastly, of course, you need money to last as long as you live, and none of us really know, Gemma, how long we're going to live and how long that pot of money has to last.
Okay, so a heap of variables, a lot of questions. How much do people actually retire on? So if we look at the actual facts, what are the average savings for people who are leaving the workforce or who are reaching retirement age?
I think this will surprise everybody because the baby boomers are retiring now. Super started at very low balances of 3% contribution in 1992, and we all went through the GFC. So I looked at the Association of Super Funds, who put out regularly on a regular basis how much people have, and as at last October, they published that women had an average super balance of 157,000. Men.
Sorry, that's a lump sum, 157,000
yes,
in total.
Yes, a lump sum of 157,000 in total.
Not a million.
And men had a lump sum on average of $271,000, and the average household had an average balance of $337,000. Wow. Gemma, and 70% of us retire as couples, and when you take out those really high balances, the median household balance was found to be only $155,000. So all of this is a lot less than $1 million. But what we're finding is that most retirees, notwithstanding, are actually report being pleased and satisfied and fulfilled with their retirement.
So those figures are amazing, and that's super helpful, I think, for people to start with as an understanding, right? So most retirees are happy and comfortable, and the median, that one's the one in the middle, right? The one in the middle balance is $155,000 for a household, so for a couple when they retire. So it's pretty tiny compared to the million that we're talking about. The average person then we know is not going to retire with anything like that million we mentioned.
No, and what really worries me, Gemma, is not only is it intimidating when you start looking at $1 million and you have as a household 337,000 or 155,000, but when you hear that those sorts of numbers, you lose hope and you lose interest in your superannuation and retirement. And there is this huge gulf between what you need and what you actually have. And to give you an idea, NAB actually did a survey of around about 2,000 customers. And when we got the results, it said that on average, both men and women thought they'd need $1.1 million to retire. And those that were earning over $100,000 felt that was more like $1.5 million. And it didn't matter what income level you're on, you felt you were going to have a shortfall of $500,000. So what does that mean? It meant, not surprisingly, that 6 out of 10 people thought they didn't have enough. One in three thought they would have far from enough to retire. And 1 in 3 felt, at those sorts of numbers, their savings would run out within 10 years. When the fact is, when you look at it, these figures are actually way in excess of what people on average will need for retirement.
So that, I mean, look, that's really fascinating. It's lovely to match up reality with what people believe, and they may be led to believe that by some of the stuff that is being published. So you think that that $1 million is utterly misleading. I'm going to call it utterly misleading for the average person, which hopefully makes people feel a bit better, and also that data you've just mentioned. I'll add further to people's relief by adding that you've got decades of experience in this and you've done a heap of research behind you. So can you help people understand what is a more realistic way to start thinking about how much you might need for retirement? Okay. Where do you start if you go, scrap the $1 million, too much, confusing, not helpful, what's more realistic for me?
Gemma, it really comes down to what you think you're going to have as a retirement lifestyle. And whilst it's true that everyone has a different expectation of what retirement looks like, there are actually a number of rules of thumb and approaches to this answer. Overseas, the most popular answer is what they call a replacement ratio, where you look at what you earned after tax in the few years prior to your retirement, and you said, well, I need roughly 70% of that to actually spend. In Australia, it was actually done quite uniquely by the Association of Super Funds. What they did is they approached it the other way, and they looked at what people spend each week by a multitude of expense categories, and then related this back to what balance you'd need in super to actually fund that in an average market. And then they looked at the all-important age pension and other social security entitlements and came up with what they call the ASFA retirement standard, which describes how much you would need to have to either have a comfortable or a modest lifestyle in retirement. ASFA updates these figures quarterly, and the latest figures actually showed that for a comfortable lifestyle, a couple would spend about $60,000 per year, whereas a single person would spend $44,000 a year. And for a modest lifestyle, a couple would spend $35,000 a year, and a single person would spend $24,000 a year.
Okay, so there's a couple of big assumptions in this one. I think it's really important to call them out initially. The first is that you own your own home. That's really important. So I live in Sydney, and if you only had $60,000 a year, you wouldn't be living anywhere much if you didn't own your own home. But let's say I'm happy with a modest standard of living. I own my own home. I've got all the things that I need. I don't need to buy a new car and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to eat out every night. What does that mean for me? What sort of level of savings would I need to achieve that modest lifestyle?
Gemma, this is where the really good news starts. This is the baseline. If you have a modest lifestyle and you do indeed, as you've said, own your own home, ASFA found out that for a single person wanting to spend that $24,000 a year to have a modest lifestyle, they would need a super balance at retirement of $50,000.
That's the balance.
That's the balance. And just wait for this, Gemma. For a couple to spend that $35,000 per year to be comfortable, they would only need a starting superannuation balance at retirement of $35,000, which sounds ridiculous. But it's right, because at that level of income and assets, the age pension provides nearly all of the money needed for a couple to have a modest lifestyle in retirement, where a modest lifestyle is just something better than the very basics provided by the age pension.
That's absolutely amazing. So those figures, I mean, most people then should have quite a bit of comfort that even if everything goes to hell, for want of a better term, even if everything goes absolutely pear-shaped, you will probably have I can't say comfortable because that's the other definition, but a modest lifestyle in retirement. You will have your needs met. But again, coming back to owning your own home, because that's important. And then anything else you want to consider that would assume no debt as well?
Yes, it does, Gemma. It does assume that you own your own home. And it looks like most retired couples do own their own home, or there is a bit of a trend for people to have less home ownership now. And I think that's the transfer of intergenerational wealth being delayed by people retiring and living for a long time. And it does assume you don't have any net borrowings when you retire.
Right, okay, so that $35,000 for a couple and $50,000 for a person who's single, that's after you've paid off any debt and anything else you might have.
Yes.
Okay, so home ownership's very important. We won't go into that in any more detail, but all the same, those numbers should give people a much greater sense of comfort that they'll be okay, at least. So let's call it okay, at least, in retirement. Let's say I'm more aspirational than that, and I'm sure most people are, and so I'd like to take holidays on a regular basis and play golf or whatever it is that I do, and I want to genuinely enjoy a higher standard of living. What does that do to the numbers? How does that affect how much I'm going to need?
You're right, Gemma. We all aspire to have that comfortable lifestyle, which is what ASFA talks about, and ASFA provides regular updates on these figures as well. For a single person to have to spend that $44,000 a year, it's been calculated that you would need a balance of $545,000. And for a couple to spend that $60,000 a year per annum in retirement, that couple would need $640,000. These lump sums for a comfortable retirement assume that the retiree will draw down all their capital and receive a part pension. It doesn't assume they're leaving a bequest. So in other words, what we're actually saying is the difference between a modest and a comfortable lifestyle is $35,000 per year. And the main differences are pretty much what you pointed out. From a health perspective, you've got private insurance and discretionary chemist spending. Leisure, you've almost got an extra three times as much to spend. It's about $10,000 per annum. The biggies, of course, being overseas holidays, better domestic holidays, many more dinners out, and probably better alcohol when you're
more nice
relaxing at night. Twice as much clothing, a better car, more groceries, and you're renovating that bathroom probably once every 20 years.
Right, okay. So this one is a bit trickier. The age pension assets test got quite a bit lower about 12 months ago. So it was on 1st of January 2017, which caught out a few hundred thousand people, which was a big thing. And what that did was increase the level of assets you need to provide for yourself. You won't get a pension necessarily, or you'll get less pension. But even then, that highest number for a couple, $640,000, it's a lot less than a million.
It is, and it's telling you need a lot less than a million to have a comfortable lifestyle. But Gemma, what you've just said about the age pension and assets test is quite important, because that's where we have this conversation about the link between the age pension and your retirement savings. And this is really important to all of our customers. We did some modelling ourselves over our own, and we found that yes, if you want to spend $60,000 per year as a couple, you need something over $600,000 in super at retirement. But wait for this. What was interesting though, is we found that if you wanted to spend $50,000 a year, that's $10,000 less per year, you would only need a balance as a couple of $250,000. That's actually less than half of the $600,000.
That's amazing.
So once again, this shows the huge benefit of the age pension working together with your super. And of course, Gemma, some of our customers have aspirations to spend a lot more than the ASFA comfortable, or perhaps they want to leave a big bequest. And these customers may well need more than $1 million. And as you said, the assets test was changed last year so that the age pension cuts out at a lower level outside of the family home. So if you have $1 million, you actually aren't eligible for the age pension, and you actually might only receive a little bit more income than a person who has much less super but is eligible. But don't forget though, as you reduce your assets by spending, you become eligible for the age pension, and that will support as you age if you're running down your balance.
Okay, Brian, so this is a really powerful set of numbers. And it's important for people to realise over 80% of Australians who are of age pension age actually do rely on some form of Centrelink, whether it's the age pension or DVA, the Department of Veterans Affairs. And that's likely to continue, right? Like, it's not like everyone suddenly has so much money they no longer need Centrelink. So there are a few variables that matter as well that affect your eligibility. Can you talk about those for us?
Yeah, Gemma, there are. And as we said at the start, that on average, men live till 85 years, women on average live till 88 years, and one person in a couple will on average live to 91. So you don't know how long you're going to live, and so you're planning to make that money last potentially over 25 years. So even if we feel we have enough money to retire, we need to constantly stay engaged with our super. apart from the legislative risk around pension changes, and of course, the further you are from retirement, the less likely you can exactly rely on these numbers that are currently published. Mm. We actually have to plan for possible market downturns, and that doesn't necessarily mean another GFC. It just may mean lower than expected returns on investments. We might have inflation being higher than we expect. Perhaps you may have unexpected expenses, or even suffer an unexpected health event, or even redundancy. And unfortunately, what we find, in fact, that 50% of people actually retire prior to what they plan to do due to some form of redundancy.
Okay, so you've made us feel much, much better that we don't need $1 million. And then you pointed out all the things that might go wrong, which is true, right? You've got to take all of those things into consideration. And I think that point about legislative risk is quite important. The age pensions change many, many times. Superannuation rules change quite frequently. Should we just relax and go, the pension will kick in, I will be okay? Or is there still really a significant incentive for people to save for retirement?
Gemma, most importantly, I think what we've shown so far by busting the $1 million myth is there actually is reason for people to be, one, optimistic, and two, continually engaged with their super and retirement. Look, the age pension is always likely to be there for those on the lowest income who need it most. But you've really got to, because of those variables, remain engaged with that super and retirement on an ongoing basis. And that's particularly, as there actually are quite a few things you can do to improve your retirement outcome starting from today. For example, remember, small amounts of super go a long way. We found in our modelling that if a couple saved $200,000 in super, and that's $100,000 each, then this would give them an income of $47,500, which is actually halfway between that as for modest and that as for comfortable level for a period of about 20 years. And Gemma, the latest data on retirement is actually showing that the as for retirement standard is quite aspirational. So that actual figure of $47,500 would be enough for a great percentage of the population. So try and increase your super contributions as much as possible. Another important thing is to remember, don't take a lump sum that you don't need. Mm. And the other temptation is, don't take your money out and put it in the bottom drawer in cash. You need to remain in a diversified portfolio, because the research and the math shows that the returns you earn on the amount of money you had at retirement could be up to 50% of the income you earn during retirement.
Wow, that's actually a really important point you're making there. So it's not just about how much you've accumulated, it's what you achieve with your savings in retirement. So making effective decisions right the way through that period is critical.
It is. And of course, when we talk about retirement, it's not just your super balance, it's about your actual total net wealth. And that's what we often get focused on in accumulation, is that super balance. But you may have financial assets outside of super. You may have cash, you may have investments, you may have investment properties. Irrespective of how much or little you have, make sure they also work hard for you in your retirement, because we know there are super contribution caps that we have to follow. And remember that your assets outside of super, excluding the family home, impact your eligibility for the age pension through the assets test. The other asset you have is yourself. Consider part-time work. Recent research shows that about 23% of people intend to work beyond 70 years. And I think when you look at that in the context of what I said about redundancy happening, I think lifelong learning is really important for our customers. If you can keep lifelong learning and look at the trends, then you'll be one of those 23% who can actually keep working. And many say it's for personal satisfaction. Lastly, please consider getting some form of financial advice, either from your super fund or a financial planner. For example, many people with average balances just withdraw those legislated minimums each year from their savings, and they leave most of it at the end when they could have otherwise had a much better lifestyle on the way through, rather than leaving it all as to a beneficiary. And also, even our wealthier customers, research has showed us that only 40% of self-managed super funds are actually meeting their objectives in retirement.
Brian, all of that is just incredibly valuable, and hopefully we've helped people understand that the whole $1 million story, or the $2 million story, which is terrifying, it's just a number and it probably has no relevance or bearing for your personal circumstances. You're going to have to do some thinking and some research, but there are so many exciting things you can do to improve your retirement prospects. We'll publish your article on our site so people can actually read the details themselves. You also publish a whole lot of other great stuff. Is there anywhere that people can follow you so they can get access to all of your excellent articles?
Yes, all the articles I write are actually in the NAB Asset Management website under Resources and Insights. And I have a LinkedIn profile and I put them all there as well.
Beautiful, okay. Thank you so much for your time today. That was fantastic. And thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your time too.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Your Wealth with Gemma Dale. To stay up to date, please subscribe to this podcast series or email us at yourwealth@nab.com.au.
Please note that any advice provided in this podcast has been prepared without taking into account your objectives, financial circumstances, or needs. Before acting, you should consider the appropriateness of the information. To find out more, please visit nab.com.au.